Welcome to The Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, entrepreneur and millennial leader. If you aren't familiar with The Millennial Wave, our mission is to be a voice for the millennial generation. So we're constantly collaborating with new guests to help give our audience the guidance and raw knowledge needed to spark ideas and accomplish their goals. Again, if you've been here before, welcome back. If you're new here, thank you for coming on. And if you do get value, all we ask is that you give us a rating and a review to be able to share with us how much you enjoy listening to this podcast. All right, guys, so let's hop into it. Hey guys, what is going on? Welcome back to the Millennial Wave. My name is Rachel Kayleen, and this is episode 27 of the podcast. And today I actually have a fellow podcaster with me, Wesley Scoville.
What's up?
Yeah, he is an entrepreneur, a father. He owns a media agency out here in Sacramento, and he also has a podcast out here as well. So really excited to have you on here.
Absolutely.
Yes, I feel like this is something that is a little long overdue. I know that totally. I ended up meeting you on Instagram through Josue. Yep. I think it was through that podcast.
And he was literally just on our podcast
yesterday. How was it?
Oh, it's
Wait,
great.
Did he? Was he the one with the videographer?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, there's a previous one, but actually, I think it's one of his clients, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I know he has a lot of clients for his two businesses and to put together. It's pretty incredible. But that's awesome. Dang, I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, I knew that you guys were going to do a podcast, but I didn't know that it already happened. But that's awesome. Yeah. Very cool.
He's a good dude. I'm excited to see where he's going to go. Because, I mean, he's only been doing it for less than a year. So
I know. It's crazy. Awesome. And he already hit the goal of 100 weddings.
Yeah,
like,
he's killing it.
He is absolutely crushing it. So how hard is it to grow a podcast? Let's be real.
Grow a podcast? Like from listenership?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty darn hard, right? Like,
yes.
For me, I always talk about my podcast as being my side hustle. I don't, I'm not really even focusing on growth. I'm just focusing on volume and trying to stay consistent with getting it out every single day. And if it doesn't grow for the next 10 years, I'm honestly okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm just focusing on getting people on there, having good conversations, and then going from there. Specifically because I'm not, you know, I have my company, and so this is just a way to connect with people, and then hopefully we'll be able to, you know, we're going to put a lot more energy into it. That's for sure. It's like we're doing the bare minimum to at least get something out or get guest on about every week.
Yeah. Okay. So you have one production a week.
Yeah.
You do it all in one day? Like you have multiple guests or you do like one guest every week and then your team takes care of the content, the posting?
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Like, I don't have time to even do anything like at this point, like beyond like showing up. So What's great for me is my personal assistant basically does. I just send her who I want to be on the podcast, and then she'll schedule it. She'll make it all happen and gets it on a date. And I basically the next day I look at my calendar, and be like, oh, you know, Josue's on my show, and then I basically do it that way. And then once we're done, it goes into sort of our post-production sort of pipeline that we already have for our business and that it just gets out that way. And then, you know, I mean, it's, again, we have clients, we have other things we're doing, so that's the priority, but this works pretty well right now, but we're still, you know, we're only put, like I said, we're only putting about the minimum amount of content on there and I want to grow that. It's just it's about bandwidth at this point.
And where are the main platforms you posted on that you're trying to grow on? I'm sorry. Is it on YouTube? I'm sure it is. It's all a video.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a full video. Like,
again, what's great about doing this kind of a deal is that what, you know, we are a digital management agency and content production agency. Mm-hmm. So all of what we do is about content at scale. So anything that we do for any of our clients, it's going to be how do we create content at scale? Otherwise, you know, it's not about just one beautiful photo or, you know, one podcast, just the audio part of it. To us, that seems like it's just a huge waste. And so we want to make sure, how can we do something where we can have the video, we can have the audio, we can have then breaking that up into shorties for Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever.
Yeah.
So we go very wide with all of our content. The only thing that I'm not doing now, which I plan on doing, is written.
And that's
really
like a blog post. Okay.
Yeah.
For the podcast.
Well, yeah. So, you know, what's cool about blog writing, it's not even that difficult if you can situate it in a way where it's like you have a podcast, you kind of have a discussion, and then all you need to do is sort of add some points to the discussion mm-hmm. that you could sort of break out mm-hmm. and make something, you know, again, it's a new piece of content from old content. So that's the plan, but it's, you know, we're, like I said, we're doing the bare minimum because of bandwidth. In terms
so
of
when you walk into a room and you have the guests there that you wanted, do you already have your questions ready, or do someone crew?
Yeah. So I'm not just like showing up and be like,
hey man, nice to meet you. So wait, who are you? No, I'm kidding.
So, you know, sometimes depending on who it is and if mm-hmm. I already have kind of an idea or mm-hmm. if we know each other, there's been, you know, I had one of my previous employers before I had my business on there, and he was sort of like a mentor to me, and I knew what I was going to say, I knew what I was going to ask him, and I knew I've known him for quite some time, so it's really easy to do that. But in general, usually it's going to be maybe the day prior or the morning of, and I just try to get into work early and you know, come up with questions. Mm-hmm. But again, it's pretty focused in terms of the specifics of that podcast. So I ask the same questions. The majority of time I'm going to ask the same questions because my whole focus is, it's again, the whole idea of the 10-year enterprise is that, you know, whenever you hear, hey, someone became an overnight success, anyone that's done anything worthwhile knows that there's no such thing as an overnight success. And so what we try to do is really say, hey, it takes 10 years to get there, and what's that process of going from, I'm really interested in going from 0 to 1. Mm-hmm. So like, how do people start? Like, how mm-hmm. do people actually get going? That's the biggest hurdle that anyone will ever have to get through for business ever. Mm-hmm. It's just starting. Mm-hmm. Once you start, then it's about how do I, you know, grow the thing and whatnot, but I'm more interested in how do you actually start? What's the psychology behind that? Because mm-hmm. it's generally only a psychological, like, mind issue, mm-hmm. not, you know, it's not about finances or time or anything like that. We think it is, but it's not. It's really about a decision, and how do we come to that decision?
Yeah. So when you think, okay, so when you're asking the same questions, mm-hmm. does your audience ever tell you, like, hey, why do you keep asking the same questions? It's the same answer every time. Or do people enjoy that because they get to hear different perspectives?
Really for me, it's like, I only talk about things that I know how to talk about. I'm not going to get into a conversation that I don't really have an understanding, that I can't go there. And part of it for me is I'm looking at, like, what about me? What did I wish that I had heard, or a group of people that I could have attached to help me when I was in that place? And so, yeah, I mean, I think consistency is key. Like,
you want them to hear it over and over and over again until they actually decide.
Yeah, you look at like someone like Gary Vee. Like, he says the same. He's been saying the same stuff for like 20
That's
years.
That's so true.
And I was following him on Wine Library before he was even had the agency, and it's really the same stuff.
Yeah.
So, I think it's important. I don't think people that need to hear it aren't going to hear it the first time anyways.
Yeah,
like,
true.
It's going to be that seventh time said in that particular way, like they were in a state where they could actually pay attention to those words and actually finally for it to like get into their brain and say, like, oh shit, like this is actually like amazing. Mm-hmm. And I know what to do now. Because most of the time it's like sales or anything else. It's like it's repetition over and over and over and over mm-hmm. again.
And you said you like to help people get from 0 to 1. Mm-hmm. Like, the number one thing is just starting, making that decision. How does someone make that decision? What have you found by asking the guests?
I mean, you really, well, with asking guests particularly.
Yeah, because if you ask the guests a similar question.
It's so different. That's what's great about it mm-hmm. is most of the question, like whether I'm talking about work-life balance, whether I'm talking about, you know, how did you start or what age. I mean, I've had people that started at 30. I've had people that started when they were 10 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. there's such a wide spectrum. So, you know, like I had Kayla Jordan on the podcast a couple months ago. Yeah, she's so rad. Like I was surprised because I was like, even though the whole idea of 10-year enterprise mm-hmm. is this idea where, you know, when you have someone, like, it takes 10 years, and I've seen her, and I'm like, I don't know where this girl came from. I had never seen her before, mm-hmm. but turns out she was, you know, she's been doing her thing since she was young, and she was, you know, hustling, like, her own made products when she was in high school. Like,
that's
so it's pretty rad, but it's different. Some people have that intuition. Some people are born entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
Like, they just, know how to do it. They don't know anything else. For me, you know, it wasn't that way. It took me until I was, you know, 27 to be like, hey, I need to actually start doing something. I need to change up what I'm doing. So yeah, it's different every single time.
How was that decision for you? What was the breaking point?
The breaking point for me was that I just realized I was lazy. I think that I was able to make a story up in my head that I could actually, I was not lazy, that you know, there was a lot of other reasons, but when in reality, you know, I mean, I was literally just, talking about this in a story this morning with, Tony Robbins has this famous sort of quote where he talks about, he'll actually ask the audience, he'll be like, you know, if you needed to, you know, if you didn't have money and you needed to find it, could you do it? You know, if you didn't have, you know, enough clients, could you get more? If you needed, like, and he goes through this process because everyone's like, yeah, if I really needed to do it, I could do it. Mm-hmm. And he says, yeah, see, it's not about the lack of resources. It's lack of resourcefulness, right? So that was really it. I think because, you know, it's kind of like a very knowledgeable and a philosopher kind of person. Like I always kind of assumed, like, you know, I knew more, but it really wasn't, I wasn't applying it in any real way because I just didn't, you know, again, it was really laziness.
So you actually did have the knowledge, you just didn't have the action.
Everyone has the knowledge. You, I mean, so? Like, yeah. I mean, in terms, like, you know, obviously, I mean, you have guys that go through, get an MBA, and they still don't know what they may have the sort of the technical know-how and the knowledge, but it doesn't mean you can start a company. I mean, it's every, like, this is 2019. We have the internet. You know, like, if you want to find the answers, you can.
Yeah.
If that was the issue, if that was really, like, people needed to find answers and they needed to have the knowledge, then everyone would be doing it. Like, why isn't everyone doing it?
You're right. It number one thing is always action, but I also know that when...
Starting. Literally, the biggest separator between those who succeed and those who don't are those people that succeed can start. That's it. They understand that they don't look up at the giant mountain and say, I can't climb that. They look down at that 2 feet in front of them and just take that first step.
So when you are talking to someone and you're trying to encourage them to start, to make the decision, mm-hmm. is that, would you tell them about Tony Robbins and what he says? And do you just mention the lack of resources?
I talk about Tony Robbins every day.
So, love Tony Robbins.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, like, there's a lot of good guys out there. There's a lot of good information out there, but even Gary Vee's incredible. He even has, there was a video that came out a couple years ago that just was about starting, right? But I think what Tony Robbins particularly does, he sort of breaks down the psychology of being successful and understanding that the reason people are successful is because you actually believe that you can do something and you practice that, and then it reinforces that belief. And whatever belief you're reinforcing, you're going to stay there. So if you don't believe you can do it, whenever you're going to, you know, say you want to, you know, I don't know, like, run a certain distance. If you don't put much energy into doing that the first time and you don't end up accomplishing it, all you're going to do is be telling yourself, like, hey, I can't do this. And then the next time you're going to put less energy because you weren't able to do it then. But if you flip that and actually say, like, hey, I can do this, I'm gonna try to do it, and then you do it, it'll continue to reinforce.
Mm-hmm. And the 10-year enterprise, is that kind of what you remind people to do? Is that, because that was one of the things that I also wanted to ask you about, and it's one of the first things I actually asked you when we met.
Mm-hmm.
This was, you know, obviously before today, we met for the first time, and one of the first questions I asked you was, what is the mission behind the 10-year enterprise? Is it to tell people that you literally need to stick to something for 10 years and just stick to that one thing? And then, you know, after 10 years, it's not a one overnight success. It takes 10 years. It takes mm-hmm. time. Is that the whole mission behind it, or is there more to it? And also, for the people that are multi-passionate, what would you tell them?
Well, one, I think it depends what you mean by multi-passionate. I think the whole idea of, like, trying to find this one thing that you're passionate about and then going after it. Like, what I found, and this is what I discovered, because the longest time I was like, what is the specific job I need to do mm-hmm. to make me to make me happy, and then I'll pour everything into it. But what I realized is, I kind of, me personally, it was, I wanted to do a lot of things, you know, and being an entrepreneur, that's where that comes from. But yeah, whatever you do, I think it's, passion will come once you begin to actually improve in that area. So yeah, I mean, obviously, if you don't like riding bikes, then don't do that. But it's not as difficult to find something that you can actually pour yourself into. But it's more about, once you start, for me, I just you go tunnel vision, and you just hyper focus on that. You push everything out to the, you know, out of your way, and you just go down that path as long as you need to. And generally, yeah, I mean, I look at my life in like 80-year terms, and then I reverse engineer where I want to be from there, and then I decide how to do things.
Yeah, but things are always changing. So when things are always changing, when situations change, when a business isn't doing that well, when an idea isn't working out the way that we expect it to, because let's be real, we have this idea in our head and it never ends up being how we want it to be.
Totally.
Like, doesn't matter what it is, you know, we could, like when I got my apartment, I was like, I know when I move, something's going to fucking happen. Mm-hmm. Something's going to come up and I'm going to have to fix it. And, you know, just like preparing for the worst, but hoping for the best type of thing. So when things are changing, or, you know, life events happen, and someone passes away, or you go through a financial hardship, how do people keep going in those moments of despair when they really don't know, or they're questioning themselves, or they're doubting themselves? Because I'm sure you've dealt with the same thing, right? And how long have you had your company? How long have you been like a full-time entrepreneur?
4.5, 5 years almost.
Yeah. So, I mean, to some people, that's a long time.
To some people,
that's a long time.
To
people that want immediate gratification, that's a long time.
Yeah, if you do something for, you know, 6 months or a year or 5 years and then give up, like, F that, like that makes no sense. Because obviously if you have a bad product, you know, that can be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But generally the problem is not the product. It's the person almost always. Shit happens. That's just life. But you have to be so sold on what you're doing, that you can almost lose everything else and continue to go. It's a question of what is your ultimate goal? What is your mission? Mm-hmm. If that's not strong enough, you're never going to hold through. And for me, I was talking about it with Josue the other day too, is really this idea of, like, you know, macro patience and micro speed. Like, that's it. Like, if you just have to go as fast as you can and be able to hold out as long as you can. Like, really, like, if you go, like, you know, decades, like, focus on that. Don't focus on, like, okay, in 10 years I'm going to be a millionaire. Like, that's just dumb. Like, I think it's,
there's no time limit on anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, one thing though is, there's people that may be listening or watching that are thinking, okay, you know, I have to be willing to sacrifice. And there's people out there that are like, I'm willing to sacrifice. I have a kid on the way. I want to be able to make sure that I'm able to provide for my family. I know that I have to sacrifice now so I can live how I want to later. But what about those people that do that? They lose everything. Mm-hmm. And then they're still trying to keep it going. What would you say to someone like that? Someone that's already lost everything, that's really still trying to keep a business afloat, or whatever the case. Really?
Life is binary, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's the other option?
Well, one thing that I would say is, I feel like if people aren't getting the results that they want and they're trying their hardest, nice socks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I like
these
them.
These are actually pretty
tame.
It's all
about the sock game, you know what I mean?
Because we're in like spaceman socks yesterday.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. I got some bunny ones in the bag. But anyway, so what I would say is, it's, if someone stops doing something because they believe they found something better that matches their values, that's not shiny object syndrome, that they think that they can have more success.
Sounds like shiny
object. I know. I feel like, look, if you stop doing one thing to go to another thing because you believe that it's better, cool. But if you stop doing something and give up just to go back to the life that you were living, it's like, what were you doing it for?
Yeah.
What was the purpose?
I mean, I think there's... you know, that sort of serial entrepreneur that never really ends up doing anything, right? Like, that's a real big thing. But ultimately, the problem most of the time is people don't put enough time and energy into what they're doing. And then because it's not going as they planned, because things take 10 years longer than generally expected, they give up too early. That's almost exclusively the problem. Because if you have a bad product, yeah, that's one thing. But if your product's solid and you know it is, but no one's purchasing the product, mm-hmm. then there's a different issue, right?
Yeah.
So what was your question again?
No, just for someone that has lost everything and then they feel like, okay, maybe it's time to move on to something else. Maybe it's time to, they're falling back into the job or whatever.
It has to do with what's your ultimate goal?
Yeah.
Like for me, I'm so set on what I'm doing that I won't give up. Like you have to, again, going back to Tony Robbins, if you want to take the island, you got to burn your boats.
Mm-hmm.
So what most people do is they have like a plan B, or they have all of a sudden like, I don't know, fuck. Like for example, I think a great business right now, anyone listening out there like that wants to get into something that is probably going to do well, canned water, for example.
Canned water.
Canned water. It's a
canned water?
Canned water. It's going, so the this thing is going to disappear. It's going to be made illegal at some point. We know that. It's happening everywhere, like plastic.
So this too?
Yeah, I mean, already straws. Most Starbucks are getting rid of their straws too. So, but as an example, that's a great. It's actually a great business. There's plenty of people that are doing it, and this is going to be a can at some point. That's just my belief. But you hit an idea, you hit something that's awesome, right? A cool business thing. Like I could start 50. Like the point of me being an entrepreneur is that I like business. I like
starting
businesses.
We all come up with
businesses.
Ideas, yeah.
Yeah, but at some point you gotta stick to the thing. Yeah. And I think the problem too is that you have to really question yourself. Am I really about? Is it about money? Because if it is, I'll be easily swayed by somewhere else if it's not paying off here. But again, like for me, it's like I've only been doing this for less than 5 years. So, I mean, how could I even say it didn't work if it's only been 5 years? Like that's like unless you're like some unicorn Silicon Valley type deal, that's different. But generally that's, chasing money anyways. Unless that's your thing, then just stick with it.
So with what you do you feel like that's something that you absolutely love, or is there other businesses that you want to start, but you just feel like your current business is a platform to get to the other ones?
Both and. I don't get married to my, what I love to do. You know, like for me, it's a platform. I'm building a machine that can make money. That then I can invest that money somewhere else to do what I want to do in the future.
Yeah.
So do I love digital media and content creation? Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Like I get to be creative every day. It's crazy. We're like running all over the place. Like mm-hmm. things are, it's hyper fast paced. I get to do, I get to do fun stuff every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I love it and I want to do more of it. But for me, it was strategically Blackfield is great because it lends itself to almost anything else I will do. I will be able to utilize everything that Blackfield is to help promote it. I mean, it's marketing, right?
Yeah.
So marketing is generally, going back to the other question, like generally if you have a good product and it's been 10 years, for example, and it hasn't popped yet, it's probably the marketing because people just don't know about it. And that's the thing too. It's like podcasting. This is not something that happens over, unless you have huge ad dollars, which you probably, not many people do have that. You have to, it's time. Mm-hmm. Like it's time to build an audience. Geez, that's tough.
And a loyal audience too. Yeah. People that were like your fans, people that listen to it every year.
You're talking years.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And that's one of the other things too. I feel like, especially when it comes to content creation and growing an audience on different platforms, popular platforms, mm-hmm. even YouTube. People are still starting YouTube today and they want it to happen right away because they see all of these people. Podcasting, I don't think has popped like it should yet. It will. But YouTube, I mean, it's like people are getting on it every single day and they're seeing all the people that are winning and making millions of dollars on YouTube and they're like, oh, I can do that, And it doesn't happen right away. So it's just
a matter of continuing. It's going back to that belief that those who have... It's one thing if you get in first, like you can get lucky, right? Like you can be like, there's plenty of people who jumped on Instagram the day it came out and they're huge, or they just had the right handle, right? Like
true, you got like a one word handle.
Joey was on our podcast, which literally at Joey. Mm. That's a big deal. Yeah. I was watching another podcast the other day, which was this girl had New York City.
That was her handle?
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And she has like millions of followers.
That's crazy.
And literally because she has that handle.
Yeah, but so, can they monitor? Like, just because she has that handle doesn't mean that she's going to...
No, but again, if you have something... If you did get in early and it was like a one word handle that is very easily searchable or recognizable, that's a huge one up. But again, like you can't, some people want to go and search for those and try to, like, you know, it's like gold digging, right? But like, I'm not in that game. I'm not someone that's going to gamble. Like I'm not into that. I think that if you just put in the work with a good product, something that does work, you can make it work. So that's a sure thing, right? Like I know this is gonna work. And if it fails tomorrow, I'm gonna start it up again. And if it fails 2 years later, like it's just, again, it's about, are you committing yourself where there's no other options? Plan B is the worst plan, like to have a plan B is the worst thing you could ever do to yourself because you're never fully going to commit. Like no matter 100%. What you tell yourself.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, I actually, I remember hearing something and it was this gentleman that is in the oil industry, mm-hmm. like oil, mm-hmm. you know, and obviously that's a huge industry, but it's also a very, risky one. I was like, so do you love it or what? I don't remember. I asked him something, but he's like, oh, I've been bankrupt 8 times. I was like, holy shit. God damn. That's nuts. There was, 8 times?
There was a guy on, I think maybe it was Gary Vee. Could have been somewhere else. But I think he had a transportation business, trucking business. Mm-hmm. And he said it took him 8 years to reach $1 million. Like 8 years.
In revenue. Oh, wow.
And now his company's like $30-40 million plus company.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: it's like if you could be a solopreneur and do okay. Like you can make $100,000, you can make $200,000. Now there's, you know, like you can do well. But if you want to blow up, if you want like multi-million-dollar company, do you know how hard that is?
Yeah.
Like,
and you have to have a team.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. It's you have to put in massive amounts of time and sacrifice above what anyone else is doing because that's the only way to get it. Like it's not an easy thing.
No.
It's talked about on Instagram and everything, but it's not, the reality is it's not the reality.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And most people won't realize that until they're actually in the game. Mm-hmm. So, and also you talked a little bit about marketing too, and you said that, you know, obviously the industry that you're in, it's marketing, like marketing is everything. And I'm curious, coming from someone that is in that industry, do you believe that people should hire agencies or they should learn how to do it themselves? So that way, because I remember someone told me, they're like, if you just learn how to market, you'll never be broke. I was like,
100%.
Okay, so do you think people should learn how to market for themselves or should they hire an agency?
I think every company, if you can, depending on the size, should become a media company.
Every company should become
every single company. Like doesn't matter what kind of company you are. If you're a company, you need to switch gears to 2019 and become a media company. That is the most sure way of doing well when it comes to getting your name out there. Now, are agencies important? Yes, I wouldn't have started one. I wouldn't, you know, but it, to not shoot myself in the foot though, but like really, like if you should be a practitioner of what you do. The very reason I'm doing my podcast, one of the reasons I'm doing my podcast is because I want to make sure we're practitioners of what we do. I need to know, like if I'm telling every single one of my clients that they need to start a podcast, yet I don't know how to really run one and manage one well, then what the fuck am I doing? You know, so both and. I think you're going to get to a certain point where you can't do everything. Even most agencies don't do everything.
Yeah.
You're still going to, you know, I mean, you look at Sacramento, for example, like we were at an agency today in a meeting because they were contracting out with work for us that they don't do because you got to, you know, you still got to focus on what you're good at. You can't do everything unless you, you know, grow to the size where you can build different teams and whatnot. But that's not the reality most of the time.
And I was going to say, so when someone is starting a media company, like they're making their company into a media company, and you're telling your clients to create a podcast. Mm-hmm. Do you think they should create a podcast for their personal brand to get the face of the company out there, the person that's the face of the company, or the company as a whole? Who's the podcast for? The main client or the client's company?
It's both and.
Really?
I think it just depends. Like, okay. You know, personal brands is one of those things that people get really, like, especially like business owners or older business owners or anyone, like, they get all off-put by mm-hmm. it. But, like, the reality is all it is just reputation. Like, it's about shifting the mindset about what do I care about? It's reputation. Any business person is going to care about reputation. Any general person is going to care about reputation. And so it's about how do I manage that reputation? How do I make sure that what people are seeing is going to, you know, help me get more business? So, yeah. I think both, if you can. You know, it's like, for me, I'm a good example of someone that for a long time didn't. I wasn't personally in the game because I was working for my clients. I was behind the scenes. No one knew, like, Blackfield was very sort of elusive.
Yeah.
And now I've sort of begun to get more out there. Not from, like, you know, I'm not running my social game strong. Like, it's about bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
But I will eventually. You know, like, the plan is to do that, basically have sort of my own team that's managing me as mm-hmm. well as my own team that's, you know, doing what
yeah.
And obviously, so both, I guess, if you can.
Okay. And back to what you were saying about the media side and how everyone should have a media company inside of their company.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly would they do? Would they bring on clients as well, or is it just them, like, creating tons of media for their company?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. They're just a whole division that all they do is well, really just create the story. Like, that's it. Like,
yeah.
you're just, you're, the goal for any one company is to be able to stand on the tallest building and scream as loud as you can to get people to see you. Like,
yeah.
that's it. That yeah. literally is all marketing.
Just doing their own marketing, being self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to do it, you know, as much as you can. I think, Grant Cardone's a great example, who talks about this a lot, because so many times people think that all of a sudden when you're on Instagram, you're like being, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, you're cocky or arrogant or just trying to, you know, have people think you're awesome. It's not. Like, you have to get past that point, but eventually you got to say, like, what is the whole point of this? If people don't know who you are, how are they going to buy your product?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that simple. So you got to get people to know who you are.
Yeah. 100%. That's awesome. So regarding everything that you're doing right now
mm-hmm.
and the idea of owning your own company and someone starting a business from the ground up, someone that has no experience in business, no business being in business, like that type of idea, when you tell someone to start and they're, you know, testing out some of their different passions or some of the different things mm-hmm. that they're interested in, how do they know which one to really go towards? Do they wait to see which one really cracks? Or would you say that they, what exactly? Do you kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Someone,
okay. You need to do both. Okay.
Okay.
So I think you need to go to a point where you're tasting things and understand, like, where your talents lie. Like, I think talent is important. I think
you think talent's important?
I do think talent's important.
I mean, it plays a part.
Yeah. Okay. I think there's a difference. It's like, you know, I could have, if I, you know, did, like,
if you were going off of your talents, what would you be doing right now?
If I was going off of my talents?
Yeah.
I think I'd be doing what I'm doing.
Oh, okay, good.
So yeah.
You're creative. You're a creative guy.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like, I could, if I was, since I was five, was like, you know, playing basketball every single day, I'd probably be pretty good if I did it every day for hours upon hours, but I'd never be Kobe. Like,
yeah.
it's just not going to happen, right? Like, so I think that's the, you have to understand, like, you can get really good at something, but then there's other things that are going to push you past. So, but you could still get really good and still be at that top level. I think it's a thing. It's like, you know, if you're like, you can be really good at sports and go nowhere, but, you know, well, I was going to say business is a whole different thing. Like, you could be really good at business and you could still be, you know, not even close to having the company at the, you know, one of the top companies in the world, but still
why?
Kill it, right? Like,
why?
What are you saying?
Why do you feel like they can't? If they're good at business, why can't they get to the
I'm just saying you can still win even if you're not at the very top.
Yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to your point really is that I think you need to taste things. I think one of the things that I did do right when I was younger is I actually like did learn about who, I focused on who I was as a person and all of that, and I got to taste a lot of things, and so that's great. Mm-hmm. And I figured out what I don't like to do and what I do want to do. But I think most people think that's very narrow. It's much broader.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you eventually you just got to choose. You know, you gotta taste things and say, oh, I like this, I like this, I like this.
Yeah.
And then you just gotta choose.
Yeah.
And that's more important. It's
yeah.
way, like you can, because if you do something successfully and build a business from something that maybe is not like your deepest, most sincere passion, okay, you can still build a business and then go on and do something else. Like that's the whole point. It's trying to figure out what are your opportunities? What's going on in your world? Like it's probably better to chase, you know, things that you see are really possible and just do that, and then you can leverage it to do something else in the future.
Absolutely.
Like, we have a lot of time to do other things. And the one thing that I know is like Blackfield's not the only thing I'm doing, or it's not the only thing I'm going to do. So that's what's great about that is, you know, you can do a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's harder for people that may have been doing the same thing forever. Like maybe someone who's always been into ballet or whatever. You know, that's something that you really have to dedicate yourself to. Or someone that has always been into acting and musicals, and that's their identity. And if they don't make it big and then they realize like, oh, shoot, there's other things that I need to try and do, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, but if you really loved acting and that was the biggest, most sincere passion, you wouldn't quit it. Like, yeah. Really, like you would...
But you at least stay in the industry.
Like, if being massively successful is the only reason you do things, then you're not in there for the right reasons anyways. Like, you're not going to get very far unless you realize you actually love to do it every day. Like, if you're not going into work loving what you do, or at least long-term know that you love it, then what's the point? Then it's all about money. Like, that, and that's kind of dumb. Like,
yeah.
Unless you're just trying to leverage that for something else, but then you probably wouldn't stop in the first place.
Okay. Awesome. A lot of value. You guys get a lot of value. If you're listening, if you got a lot of value, drop a comment. So tell them where they can find you on social media and where they can find your podcast as well.
Wesley Scoville, at Wesley Scoville.
Okay, that's how do you spell that? Last name.
WESLEYSCOVILLE. Blackfield Media is the company. And then, again, like I said, I'm not doing a ton of marketing with the podcast beyond sort of leveraging other things. So
mm-hmm.
You're able to, you can find it through my Instagram. You can find it through the 10-Year Enterprise podcast on, you know, iTunes. It's on YouTube as well. But again, it's, I don't even have a lot of followers right now. So
that's okay. I mean, shoot, me too. We're both trying to grow this podcast, man. I hear you. But okay, guys, this is Wesley Scoville. Make sure that you guys listen to the podcast, follow him on social media, and let him know if you got some value. So thank you for being on the podcast.
Absolutely.